See, Bertrand, you remember Tracy Weiner, right?
Yes, congratulations, Tracy.
Yay.
We're very proud of you.
Oh.
What are we proud of her for?
She won her school board election.
Oh, I did see that. Although I didn't know, was that your first time on the school board? You posted about saying so long to a fellow board member, right?
No, I was saying so long to the person I sit next to for the last couple years in the audience.
Oh, I see. So the point was you're no longer in the audience. Now you're up in the big chair.
I'm on the other side of the table. Yep.
Nice. What school district is this?
Out in Downers Grove.
Look out, Downers Grove.
I heard someone describe the outsider versus insider. So if you're a protester on the outside, you're holding up a sign, right? If you're on the inside, your name is on that sign.
What?
And so now there are going to be people with anti-Weiner signs in the gallery for the school board.
I hope that's not. You said something about the hurricane, Steve.
Oh, that was on Facebook.
Yeah, I'm saying it's puppy dogs and rainbows now.
Yeah, that's what they all say, right?
You are a force of nature. By the way, Steve Bertrand, so Tracy Weiner, longtime producer here at WGN Radio, no longer does that, but famously she produced Spike Odell's show for years and worked with Kathy and Judy. She's now a mom and a school board member and a podcaster here at this radio station. Steve, on her way in, she looked at the thermometer on her dashboard. What did it read?
80.
80 degrees, Steve. We should be reporting that.
You call that lollipops and rainbows? That's
80,
false information.
80
it is.
Degrees. It was 80 degrees where your car thermometer was.
I mean, the Eisenhower, it must have just been because my car wasn't moving very fast. So.
I think it's because the ambient temperature around the thermometer by your car was 80 degrees.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your podcast.
Yeah.
So it's called Apparently. Were you and Ann Johnsos?
Yeah, she said, sorry, she can't be here. She's in sunny California on spring break.
You guys are a great team when you come into the studio, and you are on your podcast where you, as a couple of parents, apparently, here's what we need to do, reach out to experts to help guide you in the raising of kids. You did an episode just now on raising boys. What did you say?
Basically, we need to start paying attention to our boys.
More so than girls? Are we neglecting them?
Well, as a mom of a boy and a girl, there's a lot of attention towards empowering girls to be butt kickers and be aggressive and go get what you want, but not conversely. Now, Anne has two girls, so she was looking at it as like an Auntie Anne type of thing.
Sure.
But I was at a parent workshop, and that's how it all came out. I was at a parent workshop that my son was at empowering boys to be empathic and show your soft side and like your feelings without making it be totally cheesy and like they would totally fall asleep. It was a fun way of talking about those sort of social emotional lessons. And while he was at that, my husband and I were at a parent workshop talking about the stereotypes of being masculine and what it means and how we're maybe hurting our boys by being like, be a man, suck it up. Like all those kind of things.
I think that is the sort of one size fits all that we apply to young boys.
Yes.
Right? Let's instill a little toughness in these guys.
Yes. And how society, like for order, like we group everyone like you're a man and you need to be this way and stoic and blah, blah, blah. And you're a girl and you're supposed to be this way. And that's how like the society groups it for order so that we can make sense of everything. And that it's not a one-size-fits-all type of thing.
You know, and tell me if this makes any sense. My impression about women is that while they have also been put in a box, it seems like you said a moment ago, we're very interested in ripping that wall down, that box down, and saying, okay, no, whatever a little girl is, so too should she be aggressive or masculine or tough or whatever it is that her interest and personality dictates. But I don't know that we're doing that for young boys. That sounds like the point of your podcast.
It was, yes.
And what does your expert say about that? Or what do we do about that?
That we have to break down the walls of stereotypes and these constructs that we have for our kids and how they're supposed to be. Because it's the third, I think he was saying, the third leading cause of death for teenage boys is suicide. And even when, like, by having these constructs of, like, you have to be stoic and you can't show your feelings, you can't be vulnerable and all those things, it leads them to do drastic things sometimes because they have no outlet to express themselves. Like, if a girl is aggressive and goes after things, she's an ass kicker and go get them. But if a boy is vulnerable or acts differently, then they're a sissy.
You know, it's funny because there was a time, remember when Phil Donahue burst onto the scene and Alan Alda was a popular star on, say, MASH, and it seemed to me like the sort of empathetic, not super masculine guy was in vogue. And then that sort of fell away.
Kind of fell away.
And I don't know who the, you know, the examples of the opposite of that are, but it did seem like the culture was more macho, masculine, muscle-bound. And for the kids who that didn't fit, they really didn't have somebody to emulate or to look to and say, it's okay to be this version of a man, too. I don't even know who the stereotypes or role models are for young men today to say, see the range or aspire to be like that. I don't even know if they talked about that. Do they offer that up?
Well, in this documentary that was brought up at the parent workshop, which I highly recommend, it's a little bit hyperbolic, like it's a little bit over the top, but it's called The Mask You Live In. And after the workshop, I went and checked it out from the library, and my husband and I went and watched it. And it's pretty amazing the way you talk to your sons, and you think you're motivating them by like, oh, come on, don't cry, like to get out of the moment. You're actually not allowing them to actually, they're human beings too, and they can cry and have the same emotions that a girl does, and it doesn't make them less masculine because he cries.
So what do you say to the boys?
So they're saying, allow them to have those feelings. Like, don't. And also, he also brought this up, which is the first thing I do as a parent when my son comes home from school. What's wrong? You look sad. What's the matter? And it immediately puts, what the doctor was saying is that it immediately puts you on your heels, like your masculinity is at on attack by, because I'm like showing that he's being vulnerable. So he's like, don't talk like
right,
that.
Right. What's
to
the
him.
Matter? As though there's a problem here.
Yes. So he's like, don't say it like that. Like when my daughter comes home, you know, the inclination is to let's go get a thing of Ben and Jerry's and let's go sit down and talk about it. And like, but you don't do that with a boy. I haven't, at least.
No, I get it.
But he's saying, like, he's like, you should talk to them just and let them have their feelings and talk about things that are bugging them, too. And he says to turn it around and talk about it like a competition. You got to talk like how boys talk. I mean, my son is incredibly competitive. So he said he runs at an all-boys school. They don't just say, okay, everyone, we're going to sit down and talk about our feelings. They're like, all right, whose family's driving them nuts? Who has the family that... And then everyone, like, all the kids are raising their hands, all the boys, because then it becomes a competition about whose family is really the most messed up. Hmm. And it draws it out.
Yeah. I don't know that I ever even thought... We raised two boys. Sometimes I think we still are. I don't know... I never thought about it. You know, I never went to a parenting workshop. They will probably tell me someday I should have, but... And I don't know if that's, I don't know why that was. You know, I think a lot of us just sort of go by our gut, by our instinct,
sure.
By what the kids are telling us.
Sure.
Maybe I made some drastic mistakes.
Oh, I make mistakes all the time. But it was just an interesting thing because I do have a boy and a girl, and I definitely don't treat my son the same way as I treat my daughter. And it's too bad.
So the bottom line from your pod this week is what?
Let boys, like we need to encourage our boys to talk about it. He also said to let them be in caretaking roles. If you want your boys to be empathic and have emotion and be those kind of beings, give them opportunities. Like girls are the ones that go babysitting or have caregiving, but that's how you have to have experiences for the boys. Let them take care of their little niece or their little cousin or something like that, because it draws out those qualities that you're looking for.
Well, are moms and dads still doing that? They take the little girl and they say, you babysit, and then tell the boy, you do the, I don't know what, masculine chore.
Yeah, go
is.
Take the garbage cans out,
well,
son.
Just as a for instance.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose it's easy to fall into that, but
yeah.
We should maybe, and here again, I never even thought about it because we had two boys. But if I had, maybe I would have made sure that the boys did the babysitting, or if we had an infant in the house, tended to help mom and the dad in the nursery, and the girl would mow the lawn or take out the garbage. We should be proactive about those.
Yes. We went down the line, and so I learned that because it's the third leading cause of death for boys was suicide, that they do it in a masculine... Boys do end their lives masculinely, like jumping in front of trains or shooting themselves with a gun, whereas girls leave notes and take pills and get, and so even in death, if they're going to commit suicide, they do it masculinely.
Isn't that amazing?
I thought that, and I thought about it, I'm like, wow, it's true.
Lots of texts about this and some phone calls too, but we're out of time. So listen to the podcast. Can people reach out to you guys too when they hear something on one of the episodes and they go, oh, I want to talk to the ladies
about
this?
Absolutely. We have our Facebook page, Apparently a Podcast, or you can find our on iTunes and WGN Radio.
Apparently is spelled UH.
Yep.
Apparently.
Yep.
It's with Tracy Weiner and Ann Johnsos. Nice job, Tracy. I saw that and thought, ooh, I know this is the right time at the right place. So good for you guys.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming in.